You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
Welcome to another episode of Side Hustle Friday. And again, when I say side hustle, I'm not talking about what people used to talk about, which is, oh, here's the Uber for dogs, and you could just walk like 18 dogs for $6 an hour. That's not a side hustle. A side hustle is something you start off, you make money fairly quickly, and it could build into a multi-million dollar business if you wanted to. And so that's a great lead in to today's episode. We've talked about online courses, online newsletters, lots of digital products, but we haven't yet spoken, and not many people have spoken about for-pay online communities. And I think this is one of the best ways to build a business out there, a for-pay online community. One community I've been impressed with over the years, the two founders, it's a couple, John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson. They have made millions and they're very transparent about how much money they make. So let's go right into the podcast.
You know, we definitely seen a lot of people who would probably not have gone into podcasting now just like sitting at home saying, well, I guess it's time to start a podcast.
Yeah, I would imagine like on the one hand, I mean, we've done well, you've probably done well because I think a lot of people have been concerned during this lockdown how to make money after this. So I think entrepreneurial podcasts have probably done well. We heard from Midroll that the average podcast seems to have gone a little bit down in traffic, but I'd imagine that there's more podcasts now than ever just because what else are people doing in the lockdown? Just talking to each other.
For the first time ever, new podcasts in 1 month crossed 100,000 shows.
Wow. That's a lot. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys because you've done such a good job building a for-pay community, and I'm doing this little sub-series on the podcast of different business models that are out there, and I think for-pay communities is probably an even more powerful model than newsletters, courses. You've done such a great job in terms of, you know, keeping the community energized and organized. It's really the best podcast group out there. So it's okay. I wanted to talk about it and even the numbers a little bit and how you grew it.
Yeah, thank you for that. We've been working on Podcasters Paradise since 2013, and it's just been a labor of love to continue like pouring into it. You know, new members coming in every single month. And, you know, we've switched up the subscription model multiple times, but, you know, we found something that works really well, and we love the community. We're so excited to have the members that we have and the engagement that we have. And yeah, it just seems to keep getting better.
I mean, a lot of people think that the business model for podcasts is just advertising, but that's like this very simple way to look at it. You kind of took your interest in podcasting and expanded it to this community. What made you think first community, then what made you think for pay community, and then what sort of base rules did you set to make sure that the community was engaged and would keep growing and would be positive and so on? So you started the podcast, and how is that going? When did you start it?
So the podcast was launched back in September of 2012. So that was kind of right when things started kind of getting a little moving in the podcasting world, because the iPhone had been out for a while. So a lot of people have the podcast app on their phone now, and it was just a little easier to find and listen to podcasts. And over a year from 2012 into 2013, you know, we just put all of our effort into the podcast, growing the audience, communicating with our listeners, asking them questions, engaging at every level that we could. And one of the biggest questions that we always asked our listeners back then and still to this day is, like, what's your biggest struggle right now? What is your biggest struggle? And a common answer, James, that came back over and over again was, we just don't know where to find like-minded individuals. You know, I mean, we listen to your podcast and you're interviewing successful entrepreneurs, but I live in a town in northwestern Minnesota or, you know, southwestern Arizona, and I don't have people around me that think like this. They don't have that mentality. I need to be part of a community, of a group. Where do I go? And, you know, frankly, we looked around and we weren't that impressed with the recommendations that we were able to give. So Kate and I did two things pretty early on in our journey. Number one, we launched a general online business mastermind called Fire Nation Elite, where we pretty quickly brought in 100 people, which we capped there. And that was a for paid community. So the average person was paying between $100 to $200 per month. And that was, again, 100 people. So right away, that was a five-figure revenue stream per month that was coming into our business. And we called, again, that Fire Nation Elite. And that was general business.
And John, just to say, like, right there, your very first decision, that's like a living.
That's
like
a living.
You literally turned the podcast into a living, like, overnight, regardless of what your advertising was and so on.
Yeah, I wanted to just qualify the overnight thing, whereas, like, we did, like, turn on that Fire Nation Elite Mastermind, and pretty much overnight. It was really over the course of just 1 week. We had a six-figure business, like you said. Now, we were releasing a podcast every day for over a year before we even opened up that mastermind. So we had been in audience growth mode for a while. That would not have worked back in 2012, early 2013. Like, we had to spend time building our community to get to that point. But yes, once we did flip that switch, boom, six-figure business. And we said, hey, if this works in the overall online business space, this could probably also work in a niche like a podcasting space. Because James, we were getting a lot of people asking us questions like, how do we start our podcast in pottery and fitness and gardening and art and our passions? And that's where we said, hey, let's just replicate the success we've had in Fire Nation Elite, launch Podcasters Paradise, which is going to be a podcasting community to create, grow, monetize your podcast. And we did that in late 2013.
So I remember, I think we first spoke around 2014. You were doing a podcast every day. I remember you were doing for a while a 5-minute podcast. On Fridays, I think it was. This is just pulling from my memory now. On Fridays, I think you had a 5-minute podcast where what? You were just answering a question, or what was happening in those 5 minutes?
Exactly. So I actually use a pretty cool tool. It was called SpeakPipe. And I would ask my listeners to go to eofire.com/ask. And I would just have them submit an audio question for me, which I would then take that audio question, I'd play it on my podcast, so that'd be about like a 30-second question. Then, like you said, I would spend the next 3 or 4 or 5 minutes just answering that question. I would keep things really simple, and that was my Friday podcast for a really long time. And, you know, that was a lot of fun for sure.
That's a great idea. Jay, audio engineer, you're listening to this. We should do this. The 5-minute Sunday podcast or something.
And the thing, James, people love when they can hear their voice on your show. So it's one thing to submit email questions. That's cool and stuff. Like, oh yeah, Kate submitted a question on this. I'm going to answer it. But when Kate submits an audio question and she knows, hey, my question might get answered today and my voice might be on James's show today, they're going to listen every single day. I mean, they want to hear that.
That's great. And you would you get, I remember you saying, I think you got just about the same amount of audience from the 5-minute show as from your regular show.
Yeah, we were seeing very consistent, listens and downloads from that question and answer show, which was part of our same feed, Entrepreneurs on Fire, as we would with the interview shows, for sure. Like, I loved having the combination because for me, a big part of our audience growth was honestly having people like you and Tim Ferriss and Barbara Corcoran and, Gary Vaynerchuk on the show, and then being able to say, hey, I've interviewed these awesome people and be able to leverage their audience as well. So that was important. But then also what I love about those 5-minute shows, and this is, I think, really important for all podcasters, is when you're interviewing somebody, you're turning the spotlight on them. And James Altucher was the feature, as he should have been, when I'm interviewing him on Entrepreneurs on Fire. But when I'm doing my own topic-based show or people are asking me questions, now I'm putting the spotlight on me as the authority figure, as the influencer. So that really helped grow my personal brand by doing that, just one show per week.
So let me address that, because I've been debating this in this past year or even just the past 6 months. Like, for years, I had an interview show, right, where I was interviewing, like you said, all these names. And for years before that, I was a writer. I still am a writer, where people are coming because of me. And so it's almost a disconnect between the podcast and the writing. And so I started putting me more back in the podcast. And you're right, it was worth it. I'm even debating more of that, like doing more storytelling or whatever. Like, two questions. One is, how did you build up that initial community on the business mastermind side? Like, how did you build this connection, personal connection with the listeners? Second, what's the structure of the podcast now? Like, are you mostly, is it still like 1 5-minute thing a day? I don't know what the latest version of your podcast is.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the second part of the question first. And for 2000 days in a row, that was my commitment to myself. I wanted to do 2000 episodes in 2000 days. That's five and
a half. That's a 6-year commitment.
Yeah, that's 5.5 years, almost 6 years, like you said. But I was committed to it. Like, when I hit episode 250, I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to 2000. So for almost 6 years, I did a daily podcast. At my 2000th episode, I did make the announcement, and this was a couple of years ago. I said, hey, I'm moving down to 3 days per week. So as you and I are talking now, it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday show. I still might get more guests sometimes than I have room for. So I'll add in a fourth episode every now and then. So sometimes it's 4 per week, but it's usually 3 per week, sometimes 4 per week now. So still a lot of quantity for sure, but definitely not daily. And as far as your first part of the question, which is, how do we first kind of build that initial engagement up? And this is just one thing that we've always been committed to doing that's, is simple to say, but hard to do, is we just committed to asking. Like, we were always asking our audience. At the end of my show, I would ask my audience to do something, whether it be send me an email, take this call to action, whatever it might be, whenever they would message me on social media. And that allowed me to really not just have communication and engagement with my audience, but to understand what they wanted, what they needed. And James, that has been the reason that I've created all of the products and services that I've created over now the past 8 years, is 100% based off of my audience's biggest needs.
So a best practice here is, at the end of each podcast, have some ask of the audience. And it's almost like a reciprocity thing. You've just given them this episode, this knowledge. It's not unreasonable to ask, like, hey, send me a text, send me a tweet, send me a message. So
let me one up that, actually, because that, I think, is
one up it.
The least thing, that is the least you should do, is ask for that one thing, that one call to action. But you should take it a step further. You should know what your audience's problems, struggles, obstacles, and challenges are. And you should be in the background, before your podcast, after your podcast, working on the best solutions for that. And I'll give you just a quick example. So I know that my audience wants to know how to create and launch a podcast. So instead of just telling them to join my $1,000 per year podcasting paid community, I say, hey, first, let me build some know, like, and trust. So at the end of my podcast, I'll say, hey, if you're listening to this and you love James Altucher, you know, he has a podcast. You obviously know I have a podcast. Podcasts are great. If you want to have a completely free course on how to create and launch your podcast, visit freepodcastcourse.com. So I send people to a free course. It's such a valuable, high perceived value and actual value course that they take. And what happens, James? They go through, they learn how to create and launch their own podcast. What do people want to do after that? They want to grow their audience. They want to monetize. Then they get served the opportunity to join Podcasters Paradise with a person who taught them how to create and launch their podcast. That's one thing that we do at the end of every episode. And I have seven more. So I'm rotating eight different of those type of free calls to action that is solving people's problems and is putting them into a funnel that's turning into revenue at the end of that funnel, which is why now for 84 months in a row, the net profit of Entrepreneurs on Fire each month has been over $100,000.
Yeah, and you've been pretty transparent about it, right? You share a lot of the numbers or you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'll let Kate talk here because she actually works super hard on the income report. She's the engine behind that.
Yeah, we do a monthly income report, which has been like, it's been such a fantastic experience from our end, as well as being able to provide that value and like pull back the curtain for our audience. I feel like it's generated so much trust and like how open we are about all of that and honest and transparent we are about how we run our business, the mistakes we make, the lessons we learn, and then all the money that we make and all the money that we spend. You know, it not only helps us keep a really tight, you know, finger on the pulse in terms of our month to month, what we're spending and what's coming in, you know, our financial just picture, then we're also able to provide that to our audience. And, you know, people gain inspiration from it. They learn lessons from it. And yeah, it's been a really fantastic experience all around. We actually just published our 84th income report. So we've done 84 of them.
And wow, James, so like our inspiration for that, by the way, was a mutual friend of ours, Pat Flynn. When I was trying to figure out back in 2011, 2012, like, can I even do something in the online world? I saw Pat's income reports and I'm like, here's a cool guy, family guy. He seems honest, genuine. And he's sharing how he's making money in a real valuable way in this world. I said, if we can ever get to the point where we're doing the same thing, I want to have that transparency. I want to show people the roadmap that we found so that they can follow that. And we do some really cool things. Like we bring our accountant on every income report to share a tax tip. We bring our lawyer on to share a legal tip, all for entrepreneurs. So these income reports are really meaty and they are just an education in how to run a successful online business.
I love this. So it's almost like authenticity and vulnerability, and I firmly believe this even in my own stuff, but in a different way, but I feel like vulnerability is currency. So you're basically spending your authenticity, but gaining audience from this because people appreciate it so much because it's such a rare, it's a scarce resource, authenticity.
I love the word vulnerability is currency too. Like that phrase, James, I'm sure you use it a lot, but you need to because that's amazing. Because just 3 months ago, we had like a very disappointing launch. Like we had a very disappointing, big kind of financial thing happen into our business and we didn't hide from it. Like we came out, we like met it head on, we shared it with people and they really, really resonate with the fact that we're not only just sharing the hundreds of thousands of dollars we're making per month and how we're doing it, we're showing you when we lose or, you know, have a huge disappointment and go the other way $100,000 in a single month because that can happen too.
So right now, from what we've been talking about, best practices include kind of this ask at the end of a podcast to see what their problems are, what their questions are, and it even creates content so you could do a mini podcast episode answering some of the questions. Then you give away something of enormous value like this podcasting course. And then, you know, that's roughly a funnel. I almost don't like the word funnel, but it's a funnel to
what's the better word? Why don't you like the word funnel? Tell me.
I don't like the word funnel because it's marketing language. Huh? And you're not really doing it in this. And I feel, even though it's not, like it's a legit word, marketing just means you're messaging them, you know, about something you think will have value to them that costs money. But really what you're doing is you're bringing them, you know, better and better. You're giving them more and more reasons to trust you, and you're giving them more and more value in exchange for that trust. And the next step of value is this for-pay community, which is not like this, like marketing. Okay, that's a good question. Like, I feel like marketing assumes there's some spread between value and perceived value. And marketing is that difference between value and perceived value. So a can of Coke is really, as Steve Jobs would put it, it's really just sugared water. And then the value of a can of Coke is the difference between sugared water and, you know, a sugared water plus 20 Super Bowl ads. And so that creates the perceived value is all these Super Bowl ads. That's the marketing.
Michael Jordan chugging a Diet Pepsi before going out and dunking over Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right. So that's marketing, which creates a higher perceived value than actual value. Whereas Podcaster's Paradise is an actual value. There's no perceived value. There's actual value. The perceived value equals the value because it's a real valuable community. I find it to be an incredibly valuable community, and you're entitled to ask people to join because they've already seen how you have like this huge value with this course and the podcast. You know what you're talking about. And then on top of that, the transparency, you know, kind of always reminds people that, hey, this is the place we could trust and learn and find information. Oh, we have to check back each month, see how John and Kate are doing, because they're going to release their report again. Gives people a reason to check back. So there's these three best practices of bringing people into the community. And I imagine also that your podcast grows, because the more people in Podcasters Paradise, the more kind of built in, some percentage of them are always going to listen to your podcast and recommend it to others and so on. So I imagine as the community grew, your audience grew as well. So it becomes this virtuous cycle.
Yeah, the biggest thing that we've recognized through that whole process you just went through is the building of know, like, and trust. So people are getting to know you, they're seeing you, they're beginning to like you because you're giving them value and you're really improving their life. And then they're trusting you because of all of those things. And that's honestly why I embrace personally funnels, because to me, funnels is part of how you run a successful online business. And I'm a big believer that people need to embrace marketing. They need to embrace funnels. They need to embrace generating revenue in their business, because James, I've been doing this for 8 years now, and I've seen so many people who have had to shutter their doors. They've had to stop doing their podcast. They've had to stop doing any kind of online content marketing because they're just not making any money. And they're not making any money, so they have to go do some crappy desk job that they hate and that's adding no value to the world. And yet they're taking away their podcast that might be about breast cancer, that could potentially be, you know, helping hundreds, if not thousands, of women around the world, you know, cope and get the answers they need. And I've seen shows like that and so many others have to go away because people aren't focused on the business side of online entrepreneurship in general. And that's why, listen, I'm a big believer in diversifying your revenue, but when we're talking podcasting, we're talking monetization, sponsorships, that is a bad game to play. 90% of podcasts are never going to get sponsors for their show of any value. The remaining 10% that are, maybe 2 or 3% are going to get some kind of significant revenue from that sponsorship. So chasing that rabbit hole, and this is why we love our income reports, because we try to like really hammer that home, is a fool's errand for most people in the first 1, 2, 3, 4 years of their online podcast / business. However, everything we've been talking about prior to this is talking to your audience, saying, what's your biggest problem right now, James? Tell me your biggest problem. And then saying, okay, 15 people like James have all said about the same thing that they're struggling with. I'm gonna create my own solution for that. And then I'm gonna offer it to them, you know, in a free course, in an ebook, in a book, and be bringing people along this line to potentially some kind of higher level product or service that's going to actually allow you to make $40,000 a year, $80,000 a year, $200,000 a year, and keep doing what you're doing to add value to the world.
So that's great. So like a lot of entrepreneurship, of course, or almost all of it, is about solving some particular audience's problems. Well, with the podcast, is basically a way to build an audience through content you create and use that as a vehicle. Really, that's the bridge between that content is the bridge between you and the audience telling you their problems enough that you could then kind of formulate products around that, like a course, like a community, maybe a book, like you say. You know, I call this the spokes and wheel approach. Your podcast is the wheel, and then all these other things are the spokes.
Totally. So, that's a great visual.
And so what were the other eight things? So you said there was like nine things. One was, hey, everybody needs a podcast community. What were some of the other eight things you were asking people or finding out from people?
Yeah. Kate, you want to choose one of your favorites of those, and then I'll share another one?
Well, I mean, we've been talking a lot about funnels, so I'll talk about Funnel on Fire, which is a free course on how to create a funnel that converts. And what's pretty cool about that funnel, actually, is that free value that we provide, because we had so many people coming to us saying, you know, how do you guys get people to a paid course or a pay for community or to any of your products or services, a coaching, whatever that might be? And our answer is you create a funnel, you create a journey to bring them on. James, as you were saying earlier, you know, it's leading them in the direction of more value, more value, more value. And we don't have an ultimate course on marketing and funnels, but we know how to create funnels that convert. So let's teach people how to do that for completely for free. And then we are affiliates for ClickFunnels, which is a software that we use to create our funnels. And so after that free course, what we do is we send them to ClickFunnels. We say, hey, we just taught you how to create a funnel that converts. This is the software that we use. So if you're ready to take the next step, sign up through our affiliate link, and then they go to ClickFunnels. So that's another example of one of the free courses that we've created.
I mean, that's great, because I think a lot of podcasters, like you say earlier, a lot of podcasters think, oh, I'm going to make a podcast and there's going to be so many people with testicular cancer listening to this podcast that we'll be able to get advertisers and sponsors for our testicular cancer podcast, not to make light of testicular cancer. But reality is, there's, like you just mentioned, affiliate deals. I find very few podcasts make use of affiliate deals instead of ads. So what this means is, using up some of the space where you would have put an advertiser, you advertise for an affiliate, or like you say, maybe you do a podcast around the idea of an affiliate, show their value, and then you have an affiliate deal. You can make so much more from an affiliate deal than from an ad. Like, an ad is actually very hard to make money from, and then finding the advertiser and doing the split with whoever. But affiliate deals is like ongoing money forever. And a lot of podcasts don't realize that. Like, you can make a lot of money from affiliate deals, and one that just explodes unexpectedly, you could make, you know, $100,000 instead of like a $5,000 ad spot or whatever. So that's another best practice, is kind of providing value with those affiliates like you do with ClickFunnels, but also doing the affiliate deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ways you can look at that. And there's two models that you're talking about right now. There's the CPM model, which is the cost per 1,000 listens. And that's always going to be a difficult model, because not many people are going to get even 1,000 listens, let alone multiple thousands, to make it worthwhile. Because guess what? The average CPM is $25 per 1,000 listens. So if you have 1,000 listens, which would put you in the top 15% of all podcasts, you're making $25 for that sponsorship. Like, that's a lot of work for not a lot of dollars. Now, on the flip side, what you're talking about, this affiliate thing, cost CPA model, which is the cost per acquisition, is one that I love, and I recommend a lot of podcasters utilize this at the beginning. And a great example specifically would be, go to Google, type in Audible podcast affiliates. It's going to take you to the page to sign up. You're going to get a nice little affiliate link to sign up for Audible's affiliate program for specifically for podcasters. They have a great one. And now you're on your podcast and you're like, hey, and guess what, my friends? You're listening to an interview with Kate Erickson, JLD, and James Altucher. So you guys obviously enjoy podcasting. You enjoy audio. You probably like audiobooks too. So why don't you go, and this is actually really specific for you, James, could be really cool, is you can say, hey, why don't you go to my affiliate link, which is eofire.com/audible, and you're going to be able to sign up and get your first book for free, your first month for free. And if you decide to stay after that, it'll be like $7 a month. If you don't, you get to keep your book for free. Just cancel in the first 30 days. You're off to the races. Now, you can, James, on your show, be recommending people go there and download and get your book, your audiobook, for free. And
like, which was an excellent audiobook, by the way. One of my favorites I've ever listened to.
Such a good audiobook.
Oh, thank you. Like, thank you for saying that. Because with Choose Yourself, I decided I can't just sit here and read my own book. That would bore me to tears. Not because the book's boring, but I just can't stand reading out loud. So I just riffed a completely different product, basically. I kind of looked at what the chapter was about, and then I told the stories and told news stories. So I made it almost so you had to buy the audiobook and the paperback.
It was brilliant.
Paperback,
which is what made it so excellent. I mean, like these little like off, hand where you've got people walking into your room and you're like taking bathroom breaks and like, you know, all this kind
you're
of
like,
stuff.
You're like, no, I don't have to go to the bathroom. Stop asking me.
Yeah, no. I remember we also had the audio engineer participate a little bit. Like he was almost shy about doing that, but it was fun. But yeah, so now you've launched Podcasters Paradise. You realize this is a big problem. Podcasters need community. One more question before we dive into that, which is a lot of people are saying now in our current environment, people are going to miss the energy and density of being at the office with each other and exchanging a lot of creative, smart people exchanging ideas and creativity. Do you think with these online communities and Zoom and so on, do you think we can, it is possible to recreate that community and creativity and, you know, exchange of ideas inside these online communities?
That's an excellent question. I mean, I do think that it serves a huge purpose. Have I participated in something that has gotten to the level of like being in the same room, like at an event or a conference, for example? I mean, I think that's really difficult to recreate, but I do think that there is room and so much power for people who might not have the expendable income to travel, who might not be able to afford, you know, all these conference tickets. I do think that it fills such an important void for so many people, as John was describing, you know, people who might not have like the familial support or other friends who are entrepreneurs or people who even know what a podcast is within 100-mile radius of them. Well, then an online community becomes everything.
Yeah, I mean, again, when I go to Podcasters Paradise, it's great just to see, because the questions live there forever, right? So if somebody asks, what's the right mic or what's the best way to get guests or how do I get this guest?
You can use the search feature. It'll take you right there.
Yeah, so it has its own role and its own use. So, okay, so you start Podcasters Paradise. Initially, you set it up on Facebook and it's a private group, and in order to join they have to basically contact you and pay what was your first subscription price to Podcasters Paradise?
Do you remember, Kate?
Well, we did lifetime for a while, so we did a super early bird for $197 lifetime membership,
and there are still people there 8 years later from that.
And then when we ended lifetime memberships and switched over to a recurring revenue model, I think we were up to $12.97 for a lifetime membership. And now we're at $97 a month or $9.97 a year.
That's great. That's awesome. So what happened in the beginning? Did you get like 1,000 members right away or 10 members or what happened? What's best practices at the beginning?
I mean, we were very much proof of concept with Podcasters Paradise. So we basically created nothing. We held a webinar, what we called our proof of concept webinar. We invited everybody who had expressed interest to us in podcasting. We emailed our list. We talked about it on the podcast. We got people on this webinar and we told them about the idea that we had for Podcasters Paradise. We said, we do not have one video tutorial created yet. We do not have anybody in a Facebook group yet, but this is our idea based on what you guys have told us that you want. So if you think that this is something you want, we're going to start creating it tomorrow. But we need, I think we said 50 people minimum to join on that webinar for us to get that proof of concept. And I think we had over 100 people join on that webinar. So the next day we started creating.
And you asked about best practices, James. Like by far for the first 2-3, even into the fourth year, we were doing a live webinar every single week. We're talking every week, 52 per year, where I was just getting on. I was teaching podcasting for 45 minutes. I take about 15 minutes of questions, and then we would promote Podcasters Paradise on that live webinar. And that was our best practices for years to get people into Podcasters Paradise. That was 13, 14, 15, maybe into 2016. 2017 Wow. started, we really saw that shift out where people were not just going to be attending live webinars nearly as much. And that's when we kind of shifted to more of a free course model, like a do-it-yourself type of thing.
So people are coming in, and you've been doing this, not only your podcast, but this free webinar to kind of drive people into Podcaster's Paradise, where, again, I say drive into, but there's a huge amount of value there. Like, I've enjoyed my experiences in Podcaster's Paradise. What then is best practices? You're developing this community. You guys are in there every day. It's such a strong community. What's some of the ways you keep people going? Because they have to, you know, you want people to keep having value so they keep renewing and so on. Like, what do you do? What do you think about when you wake up and start, you know, building the community every day?
The biggest thing that we've really made the commitment to, that we've seen pay massive dividends, is every single day, it's on our morning routine. Kate and I are in Podcaster's Paradise for a minimum of 10 to 20 minutes. And if it needs to be more, then it's more. But that's a minimum 10 to 20 minutes where we're answering everybody's question. We're giving support on everybody's, you know, win. We're giving, you know, feedback on everybody's struggles and failures. So we're in there. So there's no comments left untouched by Kate and myself. Now, of course, what we love about the community is because we are giving that leadership and showing that example, you know, we'll have so many other people be commenting and sharing and supporting and answering as well. So by the time I get to a bunch of questions that, you know, I'm going down that feed that particular day, it's already been answered in full by somebody else. And I just give like a little like, and like, that's what I would say. Or if I disagree, I'll give my opinion as well. I'm not saying that it's the only opinion that matters, but that's my personal thought on that. And we have some nice, lively, you know, sometimes, you know, opinion back and forth where we don't always agree. But to me, that just really is a strong community that can have these kind of open, friendly, but helpful conversations. So it really starts there, James, with just us being every day committing in that morning routine to being part of that conversation in the Facebook group.
Both of you are on there in the morning. Like, is there ever one day it's like, hey, Kate, it's your turn. The next day, hey, it's John, it's your turn. It's like both of them.
Both.
Double team.
Yeah.
Right.
She's the sugar, I'm the salt. You know, I get in there, I'm a little salty sometimes. And I think that keeps people on their toes. And you know, Kate's all sugar though, which is important.
Right. Like if they get a notification, John Lee Dumas has responded to your post and podcast first, like, is he yelling at me? Did I do something
Very
wrong?
Very possible.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess, but it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
I'm going to look something up on trends.co. They once posted what made Harley Davidson such a strong community. And I want to find that because it was a good list. Let me see if my computer.
Yeah. The thing about Harley Davidson that's been interesting that I've seen is like, I mean, when you have a brand where people are literally going to get a tattoo of your brand on their body, you know, you've done something right. And so that's kind of one thing that I always think about when I hear Harley Davidson. I'm like, man, when you can have such a passionate fan base, because I haven't seen any Podcasters Paradise tattoos yet. So we're still working towards that. But
I feel like Entrepreneur on Fire, you've got like the Fire Nation thing. You've built this brand around your podcast and community that includes that.
Yeah, and that was what I wanted from day one. Like I wanted this brand that was exciting, that was strong, that people wanted to be a part of. And that's why we called our first mastermind Fire Nation Elite, because we wanted people to really feel like they were part of our audience of Fire Nation.
Yeah, okay, so let me see. Here we have it.
James, while you pull that up, I'll add a couple other strategies and stuff that I feel have been really powerful for making our community what it is. We definitely have very strict guidelines, and part of our onboarding process is helping people understand what those guidelines are, and then also always encouraging questions, support, So from day one, when you join Podcasters Paradise, the Facebook group is one of the first things we tell you to do. Go join the Facebook group. And then when you request to join, you get served the guidelines. So the guidelines of like no self-promotion, no like talking down to other people. We're there to support one another. We're a family. And so all of this language that we use around like the support and asking questions and answering questions, never hesitate to post something. We want to be helpful. We're here for you. We're a family. I really think that that goes a long way in helping people feel comfortable enough to be in there, you know, providing support and answering other people's questions and asking questions of their own.
Well, I think that's really important. Essentially, you're building the connectivity of not like this loose online group, but of a tribe. Like you call it Fire Nation. You refer to it as a family. Like I think that's really important. So people feel like it's not just something that they could, you know, log into and log out of. And, you know, they're kind of in the community 24/7 in some conceptual way. And I think that's really important.
And once you get people in there and doing that and they start building relationships with other members, it's not about John and I anymore. It's about the relationships and the connection that they've built with other people in the community. And so at that point, then they're so invested. They've built all these incredible relationships and they do feel like they're a part of a family.
Yeah, that resonates with something else I always think, which is that the power of a person's network is not just the list of people you know. It's exponentially larger if it's the list of people you connect to each other. And so your community, the value of it is not just the number of members, but the number of members who connect with each other because of your community. Mm-hmm. And that's an exponentially larger number than just the list of people in the community. So, okay, In this list I have here about the Harley Davidson paid community, the number one item is content, which you know having paywalled content available only to paying community members. So you have that just in terms of the content created by the community. But is there any other content you create just for the community?
Absolutely. We have an entire membership site with video tutorials on how to create, grow, and monetize your podcast. We have resources. We have email templates. We have document samples. It's a very, very robust membership site with literally anything, any question that anybody asks in the Facebook group, we are able to answer that question for them and also point them to a resource or a video tutorial on the membership site for that.
That's great. And then you do have connection. You have focused efforts to introduce members of the community to one another and build strong connections. So as soon as someone joins, you often introduce them or you throw them right in there.
Yeah, so one thing that we have that works really well is we have your first 8 steps in Podcasters Paradise. And it's a step-by-step process where we know that if they take these 8 steps, they're much more likely to know, love, and stay in the community for a much longer time. And one of those 8 steps is a very specific and easy introduction into the Facebook group. So we really want to make that happen soon because, you know, as soon as somebody introduces themselves, they're like, hey, I'm down in, you know, the Keys in Florida, like, oh, I'm in the Keys in Florida too. Now they feel like they're actually kind of part of more of a family with people that they can know, like, and trust as well. So those 8 steps that we do are really critical to our process.
And what's some of the other steps?
To log into the membership site, we have a video tutorial that walks them through that. Again, like John said, I mean, one of the biggest deterrents, I think, or an easy way for somebody to drop off, especially if it's a recurring membership, like you had asked us earlier, James, how do you keep people coming back? And one of the ways is right up front, you have to make sure that people understand and are clear on where they can go to get the resources and the help that they need. Because if they have to spend time looking for it, they're just going to get frustrated and they're not going to want to do it. And so one of those 8 steps is logging into the membership site. We have a welcome video from John that welcomes people. I do a whole walkthrough of the content so people know exactly where to find the video tutorials they're looking for. Joining the Facebook group is one of them. Signing up for a welcome call from John. John actually calls every single person who joins Podcasters Paradise
on
the phone.
One-to-one, James. Every Saturday, I'm calling Paradisers.
Wait, you call every single person who joins?
Every single person who joins.
What if 20,000 people joined?
Then I might have to rethink that. We're not quite at those numbers yet. But over the years, you know, we're approaching 6,000 total members. So it's been a lot of phone calls.
We also have a physical journal called the Podcast Journal that walks through 50 days. And each day there's an exercise in the journal that people fill in, and it gets them to launching their podcast in 50 days or less. So one of the steps is them giving us their, they submit a form to submit their shipping address so we can ship them that journal. It's really just about making sure that they know where to go and how to engage and where to find things so that we can give them the value they're looking for so that they don't get frustrated and leave.
So this, you know, this is so incredibly important because I, you know, there's a lot of Facebook communities out there. There's a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot, but there's a good number of for pay communities that seem to be doing okay. But I gravitated straight towards you guys the second I wanted to do an episode about communities, because Podcasters Paradise just feels like you're charging it just feels like such a great community. And now I'm seeing all the glue. It's not like there's no shortcuts to building a business out of a community. You're doing all this work. And while it's not, you know, you're not going down to the coal mines, it's a good amount of work that you're doing here. It's not like an easy thing. But I want to remind listeners, you can do this about any category. That's the beauty, is that you were making a living on the first 100 people who joined.
Yeah.
And so whether your podcast is about breast cancer or golf or fantasy sports or, you know, Denzel Washington movies, you could build a community around it. I mean, there's whether it could be about learning, it could be about social media. So all of these are kind of general best practices that work in every domain. It just so happens you do it in podcasting. What are some of the other things in the eight, your checklist of eight?
Well, I will say, you know, before Kate...
and eight. I had to say it.
Before Kate answers, another one or two things, I will just, you know, have to say that, like, the really key thing and the whole, like, engine behind everything that we're doing with Podcasters Paradise and, like, building up that community and making people really feel like it's the right place for them, not just to stay and to learn, but to continue to be a part of, so they're going to continue as the industry evolves to get the latest tips, tools, and tactics. You know, we are always, always making sure that we're encouraging other people to share their voice in the community. Like, we don't want this just to be like the Kate and John show. We want this to be the Podcasters Paradise family show, where whenever anybody, you know, gives a great answer, like, we have this one guy, just to give a specific example, he's at the beginning part of his podcasting journey, and every week he's posting what he calls notes from the field, Cliff Notes, and his name's Cliff. And every week it's like this really long post. And it's such a valuable post that I could never create, because I'm 8 years removed from launching my podcast. This guy is eight, you know, weeks from launching his podcast. So he's in it, and people are resonating with his post more than they could ever resonate from a similar post like that for me, because I'm just so far beyond that. Because I've been doing this for 8 years, 2,600 episodes, you know, multiple millions of dollars of revenue. They can't resonate with that. They can't connect with that, but they can connect with this guy, Cliff. And it's such a valuable part of our community that Kate and I don't have a part of. But one thing I want to end with before I pass over to Kate is, just like you don't really love like the words funnel and marketing and stuff like that, like, I don't love the words passive income that much, because to me, like, a lot of people think that their online communities are going to be a form of passive income for them. And there's just nothing passive about it. Like, Podcasters Paradise is the revenue generator that it is, because Kate and I are the opposite of passive. We're engaged every single day. So Kate, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, on that note, I'll say, I mean, Clifford is an excellent example of this. Another way that I believe is a reason why the community is so incredibly engaged and as fantastic as it is because when we see people like that, we encourage, we share gratitude, we will do it publicly in the group. Like, every single time Clifford posts, I'm reading the entire thing, I'm posting on there and saying, thank you so much for this. For anybody who is not reading this and taking this in,
you're crazy.
Like, you're crazy. And then I actually will reach out to Clifford individually too. And Clifford's just one example. Anyone who exhibits like this type of value add in the group, I reach out to them individually too and just say, you know what? I cannot express enough gratitude and appreciation that you are adding so much value to this group. It's so helpful for the other members, and people appreciate that. Like, people want to be recognized. And Another awesome thing that we do too is we have a weekly Podcasters Paradise Digest email. I mean, we've sent hundreds of them now. We send every single Friday morning, and we have a spotlight in that. And oftentimes we'll be spotlighting people's posts. I launched my podcast, I hit 1,000 downloads. And that like recognition, that public recognition, whether it's in the Facebook group, in that email, people really appreciate that. It keeps them engaged. It keeps them coming back. So that has been really fantastic. But going back to those 8 steps, another cool thing that we have inside Podcasters Paradise is an accountability partner program. And so we'll encourage people to get signed up for that. So you submit a form and you answer like 5-6 different questions. It comes into us, and then we'll match people with someone else in the community who's in a similar place in their journey so that they can then connect individually and do like weekly accountability calls. Like, hey, you said that you were going to have your podcast logo artwork done this week. Like, where are you at on that? Because with a big group, like there's a lot of accountability in that too. But to be able to partner, pair people up like that is a really great way to keep people engaged and coming back as well. And we have our monthly live Q&A calls. So every single month, John and I are spending 1 hour. We're live on Facebook in the group. People are jumping on live. They're asking questions. We're answering questions. And that's another fantastic addition to the community, is that John and I make ourselves available live in that way too, so that it's not always just like, you know, that live interaction makes a big difference as well.
That's great, because all of these things make it so that this is a, you know, this is going to last forever. Like, podcasting, it might evolve, but it's not going away. And as long as you keep providing all this value and content, like, you guys will have this, you know, major income forever, and it'll just keep growing. Like, that's the plan, I assume.
That's the plan. This is our annuity.
So you were just saying, you do events, you do member visibility with this recognition. Are there, so I'm just reading off this list about Harley Davidson. Sure. Are there perks, like ancillary benefits to membership? Well, I guess there's access to your Q&A and things like that, but are there discount? Do you do affiliate deals in the community?
Yeah, so one thing that we do that's really cool is when you join the annual plan, this is actually another marketing strategy that I think is super key, is when people get to podcastersparadise.com and they're going through our sales page essentially, and they get down to the bottom where they can either join monthly for $97 a month, which is appealing for people because, you know, it's a low upfront, or annually for $9.97, whenever you're running a business like we're running ours, online community, you really want to get people committed for a year up front, because they're going to be better. They're going to be better, more committed. They're going to be more engaged because they're not trying to justify things every single month. And you don't want people necessarily that are doing that. So we really push our annual membership hard. How do we do that? Well, pricing is one thing. It's a couple hundred dollars cheaper if you join annual as opposed to paying, you know, $12.97 payments. A second thing, and this kind of goes to your perk that you're talking about, we gift people a $600 intro and outro by a professional audio company that we use for our audio to create their intro and their outro. And so that's a massive perk right there. And of course, it's not costing us quite $600 because we've worked out our own side deal, but that's what they would have to pay if they went directly to this company. And so it still works out for us financially to offer that to people that join annually. Additionally, and this is James again, me just saying, hey, this isn't passive. Like, I'm willing to put in the work. I'm calling everybody that joins. When you join annual, you get a 15-minute strategy call with me. And you can't get a one-on-one, like I don't do one-on-one coaching for just anything. Like, this is the only way you're going to get 15 minutes with me one-on-one, directly answering your questions for your podcast. So we really push the annual hard, because that's a much bigger overall value than somebody that's going to join at 97 for a couple months and then drop off.
Man, I love all this. Like, it's making me excited to build my community.
Yeah, buddy.
So do you have like swag? Like, is there, do you have Fire Nation jackets and bandanas?
We do. We have a Podcasters Paradise t-shirt. And a cool benefit too of being a part of the community, like you mentioned, discounts and stuff. We do team up with like podcasting conferences, events that are going on. So we'll get people discounts on tickets. And then whenever we join like Podcast Movement, PodFest. Those are two huge podcasting conferences. John and I will put on a live like event just for Podcasters Paradise members at those events. So like the first night before the conference kicks off, we'll bring Podcasters Paradise members together. We'll give everyone a t-shirt. You know, we get their first drink or whatever. We have appetizers and all that good stuff. So those are a couple other things that we offer to the community. Yeah, swag, one of them.
And Kate mentioned the podcast journal, which every single person joins, they get this shipped to their door. And this is like not just some flimsy journal. Like this is a beautiful faux leather, nicely constructed, you know, sewn flaps. I mean, it's a really high quality journal that we sell for $49 separately to people like on Amazon and stuff. But everybody that joins Paradise gets that for free.
What about, you know, and this is a key component to almost every kind of community or social network out there, but what about gamification? So for instance, on Twitter, the gamification is how many followers do you have? On Instagram, how many likes per photo do you get? Is there any kind of sense of gamification based on how much you participate or how many podcast episodes you've done or whatever?
So gamification is definitely an interesting road that I feel like we may be exploring deeper down the line, but to be a little more specific on something that we do within Podcasters Paradise that really helps people as far as like what you're talking about with the followers and the likes and this stuff is one thing that's unbelievably difficult to get for your podcast are ratings and reviews. I mean, it's so difficult. I mean, it's hard enough for you and I, James, with big audiences, but for people with no audience or small audiences, it's nearly impossible. But it's super important to have at least 20, 50. If you can get over 100 reviews, it really adds a ton of credibility to your podcast. So every single Friday, we have what's called Pay It Forward Friday, where we allow people, and this is the only day that they can do this in the Facebook group on any given week, we'll delete other posts that try to do this because they're violating our rules, is we post Pay It Forward Friday, and you're allowed to post a link to your podcast and ask people to give it an honest rating and review. So the idea is people will see your Choose Yourself podcast, and they will go, they'll listen to an episode or two episodes, and they'll give you an honest rating and review. Now, that has been something that's been going on for years and years and years. Every single week we put this on, there's hundreds of comments because people are super engaged with this, because this is how they are genuinely increasing their ratings and reviews, is by helping each other, the community.
That's so key, because I think the Apple algorithm rewards reviews, right? Like if you get more reviews, you'll move, even if you're not getting the number of downloads, if you get a surge in reviews, you can move up huge in the
Apple
algorithm.
Apple knows that somebody that's leaving a review is a super active listener. Like there's passive listeners, which Apple, you know, those are good, but Apple wants and loves engaged listeners, people that are passionate enough to go and take that extra step to leave a rating and review. So they reward your podcast as a result.
Yeah, I think like after a podcast kind of matures, it's a little harder to stay in the top
big time
100. Like you see when a podcast is released, it surges right through the top 100 because that's when they're getting their initial acceleration in downloads and reviews and so on. But then you might have like more downloads than anyone, but not be in the top 100 because you might not be getting the reviews
100%.
Or it might not getting the acceleration. And so I've always been wondering about that. But well, this is great. And I just want to remind people again, like let me ask you guys, if you were to create a community or if you were to advise someone to create a community in some other area, like let's say, I don't know, somebody likes mystery books and does a podcast about mystery books, how would you suggest they create their Forepay online community?
I mean, I think something like that is a great example of doing like sort of a book club or something. You know, you do a pay for community where you guys get together, you read the same, you said mystery books, like you pick a mystery book. And if you are a part of the community, we're meeting in this private Facebook group. And once a week, we're going to discuss these chapters and, you know, everybody could come up with their own like assumptions of like what's going on and you discuss it. And I mean, that could be a really cool way to do it. You could also, I mean, the sharing recommendations for other mystery books, like maybe some of those people are interested in writing a mystery book themselves. And that could be a cool addition to it where you're like having some type of training or content on writing or something like that. So yeah, I think like low hanging fruit to me when I hear that would be some type of book club community.
And something else that really comes to mind for me is I really believe we're coming to the end of the day where people like you and me, James, like sit down, write 50 to 75,000 words and then publish a book just like that. Like,
yeah.
What I foresee happening is more of this ongoing thing. And so like, why does there have to be really a mystery book with a beginning and an end? Like there could be a mystery book that just every couple weeks, there's another chapter that's released and only people that are part of that community are gonna get early access to those chapters, or maybe are gonna even get input and you can add some more different things. Like I love the idea of, you know, what if you have like this choose your own adventure mystery series where people actually, they're in the group, get to vote on what happens next. And then you create the whole story around it. That could just be a really interesting kind of concept for somebody where they just have not a beginning and an end, but just a beginning. And then just this evolving project that just goes on.
And I imagine like for other types of communities, like let's say divorced dads or divorced moms or, you know, newly pregnant moms or, I don't know, homeschooling parents or different sports. There's so many different kinds of communities, you know, people who want to start social media agencies for lawyers or whatever. Like there's so many different types of online communities. And I really think this is somehow more fun than just creating an online newsletter or, I don't know, they're all good models, but this is such a great business model, I think, the for-pay community. And a lot of people, they don't think to do that.
And you learn so much. When you have people that are paying you money, like those are like your real raving fans. Those are your best engaged people and you want more of them. And you learn so much from engaging with them. Like Kate and I learned so much from engaging with Podcast Paradisers.
Yeah. And I should get more in the community. Every now and then I kind of,
we love it when you do, brother. Paradisers love it. They're like, holy crap, James is here. He's in this community. They love it.
I'm in the community. But you guys got me excited now to boost up my own community a bit more.
Sure.
Look, I've been following, you know, your efforts for so many years and the community I've been in for pretty much since you started it almost. And, always such a pleasure to interact with you guys and interact with the community. You're right across the little creek there between Florida and Puerto Rico.
As long as I'm still here. Oh, you mean that Bermuda Triangle? Yeah, we're right between that. We're there.
So we'll have to pop on over to Puerto Rico at some point. But thank you so much for sharing all this knowledge on best practices for creating a for-pay online community, and particularly your Podcaster's Paradise and other aspects of the business model around your podcast. You know, Entrepreneurs on Fire, always a great podcast to listen to. Who have been some of your recent guests?
I've been having some really fun guests. One personal highlight that I really enjoy talking with is Guy Raz, who's the host.
I'm holding up his book right now. I just had him on as well.
Yeah, nice. He's making his rounds because he's just on the Tim Ferriss show as well. And, you know, his book, How I Built This, is coming out. And I just loved having a conversation with him because he was one of my inspirations for Entrepreneurs on Fire back in 2010, 2011. And I just love what he's been pumping out content-wise. It was really cool having that one-on-one convo with him and just a ton of fun. And I want to give a shout out too for a lot of people that are just like, wow, we're loving the systems and the automations that Kate and John are talking about that they have in our business. Well, beyond Entrepreneurs on Fire, which of course is a kick butt podcast, Kate's been cranking out some amazing episodes with her podcast called Ditch Busy, Making Overwhelm a Thing of the Past. So check out Ditch Busy if you want to turn your business into a revenue generating machine like Kate and I have.
And let me ask you this, like, have you noticed that, so I've noticed this recently, stories are more important than celebrity. So a podcast grows not necessarily as your subscribers grow, but as your subscribers share. So you have to have content that's valuable enough and fun enough and interesting enough that your subscribers say to their cousins, like, oh my gosh, you got to listen to this. And I find that content over celebrity celebrity will only get you so far. No matter how famous the person is on your podcast, it's real. You could have the most non-famous person, but just has a lot of value, and that will do so much better than celebrity. Some people don't realize that. They're just like, oh no, I got to get like, I don't know, Chelsea Handler on my podcast. Right. When having, you know, John and Kate on talking about for-pay communities, I can guarantee you this will get more downloads this episode than the Chelsea Handler
episode.
Are you
saying we're not as big of a deal as Chelsea Handler?
you're a bigger deal than Chelsea Handler is what I'm saying.
Hey, James, I want to just make sure we get this across as well. Mi casa es su casa, my friend. Get on a plane. Fly to Puerto Rico. We'll put you up in our guest suite. We'd love to hang out with you in person and keep these kind of conversations rolling, my man.
We're there. So, all right. Well, thanks so much, John and Kate. And, you know, Podcasters Paradise is great and your podcasts are great. And so, so glad you could join me for this episode.
Adios, brother.
Thank you, James. We super appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.